About 2 years ago, a friend of mine got married, and when I went on his stag do, I was quite surprised to find out that all of his friends on his stag do, who he knew from university, who I didn't know, used to give him a nickname, and his nickname was Fairy. And I was like, okay. These were friends from his hockey team, and I was a bit unsure as to why he had this name, but what conspired was this, was the fact that when he turned up to the first or second training session, he'd been there. The third session he went to, was meant to be at, he wasn't there. And they went, "What were you doing?" And he goes, "I was doing my washing." And so they called him Fairy, as in Fairy, the washing up brand. And that was his nickname for the entirety of university. And so the whole way through his stag do and his wedding, he's referred to as Fairy. And I had no idea who they were referring to. Now, I want to talk this morning about, as you can see on the screen, what we're going to talk about. But I want to bring our attention to someone in the Bible, someone who was crucial and influential in the early church, someone who you have no idea what his actual name is because you only know it by his nickname. And that person's name is Joseph. Somebody in the New Testament called Joseph in the early church. You're probably thinking, Joseph in the early church? I've never heard of a Joseph in the early church. But because of who he was, because of the character and the nature that he had, he was known always by another name. And that other name was Barnabas. That was his nickname. He was called Barnabas, the son of encouragement. That's what it means. He was someone who was an encourager. And if we go to Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, it says this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for we who are promised his faithfulness. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of Hebrews is saying, one of the most important things you can do in the community of God together is be people of encouragement. And so I want to look at some of the principles of encouragement and look at what we can learn from the life of Barnabas, someone who is a minor character in Scripture, but I think actually, probably the more I've looked at him, realize more and more, he is probably actually fundamental in shaping the whole nature and character of the early church. So you find him, if you've got a Bible, you can turn to chapter 4 of Acts. Have we gave you the book as well? Acts chapter 4. That's where we first meet him. Before we go there, I just want to explain this. Encouragement is crucial to our lives together. The word encouragement, encourage, the definition of that is simply this, to put courage into someone. To encourage, to put courage into someone. It's something that we do actively. We put something into someone else. We encourage them. The Greek word for encouragement, or to encourage, is paraklesis, I can never say that word, which means to come alongside, which is very similar, in fact, it shares the same root word as paraclete, which is the word that's used in the Bible when it talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, our helper. But that word encouragement here that's applied to Barnabas is that word paraklesis, which means to come alongside, to get on with, to hold up, to shore up other people. That's what we're talking about when we hear those words of encouragement. And we need to develop patterns in our life, habits of encouragement. If we want to be a strong community together, we need to learn to encourage and be people who put the Barnabas principle into effect in our lives, in our church. So we go to Acts chapter 4, and we're starting in verse 32, and it says this, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord, and much grace was upon them. There was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. It's the first time we meet Barnabas. The first time we meet him. And he shows us the first principle of encouragement, which is this. We encourage others by practicing stewardship. See, Barnabas saw the need, and he was committed to make sure the need was met. That's how he lived his life. He was someone who, when he saw a need, he used what he had to help benefit the whole. Now, in this situation, he uses his land. He sells his property off, and he says, actually, you know what? Because for the greater good of this community, so that the poor can be fed, so that the hungry can know a full stomach, he says, I'm going to sell what I've got because I've got more than I need. I'm going to sell what I've got, and I'm going to give it to these people, the apostles, so that they can distribute it out to everyone. The first principle of encouraging others is being able to give of yourself, having a giving heart. That's not just financial. That's what we have in this story here. Barnabas financially gives what he has. But if we go back a few chapters into chapter 3, we see the principles of this being showed by Peter and John. They're going into Jerusalem. There's a man there. And he cries out to them and says, have you got any money? And Peter and John say, silver and gold, I have none. But what I do have, I give to you. And they heal the man by the gate. If we want to encourage each other, be people who are spurring each other on, we need to share what we have with others. One of the reasons we tithe is because we're sharing corporately together so that we can do things together as a community. We can benefit our whole community through what we're doing here. We give of ourselves. We give financially into the church. It's one of the principles of encouragement. If you want to encourage, be an encouragement to the church, give financially. But it's not just that. It is giving your time. It is giving your gifts and your skills. I came across a great little story this week, which says this. There was a man who said he wished he could give more. He wished he could give more. And he said to God, if you just give me enough money to support my family, if you just give me enough time to be able to do all the things I need to do, if you just give me enough talents to be able to do what needs to happen, he says, God, I will use it all for you. If you just provide for those things, I will give it to you. If you just provide for me, I will have a giving heart. So God gave the man all that he required, all that he'd asked for. And God waited. And God waited. And the man did nothing. So God took it all away from him again. The man cried out and went, God, if you give me more, if you give me more, God. He said, I'll use it for your glory. And God turns around to him and says, shut up. You see, we can say, oh God, if I had more time, I would serve the church, or I would serve you more. If I had more money, Lord, I would give more to you. But would we actually? Encouragement is putting others first, thinking about others and their needs, and being prepared to use what God has given you, your time, your talent, your money, to support each other. Not just when it suits you, but when it's needed. We've got a need in climbers right now. We need people to help out with climbers. You might go, but I'm not a kids worker. I can't do kids work. Can you sit in a room and be encouraging? Can you sit in a room and just be and help someone else lead? It doesn't require you being an expert in a field. It requires you just going, I'm just willing to give. Whatever I can do, I will do. And there's many areas of church life, and there's many things in the community that have a need. And the question is, will we encourage others by practicing stewardship of what God has given us and using it to benefit the community? Barnabas was someone who saw a need, got involved, and met that need. That's the sort of person that I want to be. Where's a gap? I want to fill it. The second principle of encouragement comes from Acts 9, where we meet Barnabas again in Acts 9, 26 and 27. And what's happened here, and this one is about extending friendship. Second principle of encouragement is extending friendship. What's happening in Acts 9 is Paul's become a Christian. He's on the road to Damascus. He falls off his donkey. Bright lights, gets converted, meets Jesus. It's an amazing experience. And then he meets Ananias, who's a Christian, who heals him of his blindness. But all the rest of the church are terrified of him. He hangs out in Damascus for a bit, and then he goes back to Jerusalem, and all the apostles are going, don't bring that Saul near us. He's a Christian now, is he? Oh, I'm sure he is. Yeah, I'm sure we like that, yeah. Barnabas is the one who goes, no, guys. He goes out, he meets Saul, he meets who became later becomes Paul, and he encourages him, and he brings him into the community of saints and says, guys, look, he's converted, he knows Jesus now, he's met Jesus. Let's get around him, let's get beside him. So if you want to be an encourager, you want to be someone who lives out the principles of encouragement, extend friendship, whether that's at work, in your school, at your college, or whether that's in the life of the church. How cliquey are we in church? We go, well, this is my clique over here, that's their clique over there, and never the two shall meet. Extend friendship to each other, actively bring each other into each other's world. Because that is an encouragement. Barnabas was just like, yeah, I'll do that. He's very much a half full person, isn't he? The glass was half full for Barnabas. When you read about him, he's just kind of going, Paul's a Christian now. Great, fantastic. So everyone else is kind of going, oh my life, Paul's become a Christian. Barnabas is like going, yeah, he sounds great. Let's bring him into the kingdom. Let's bring him in. Let's help him. Let's nurture him. So the second principle of encouragement that we learn from Barnabas is to extend friendship. Be a glass half full person. Don't be a glass half empty. Be a glass half full. Next principle is found in Acts 11. And we meet again, Barnabas, in Acts 11, in 22, verse 22. And what's happening here is in Antioch, loads of people start becoming Christians. God turns up and people are becoming Christians left, right, and center. And so the church in Jerusalem, they send Barnabas out. Say, Barnabas, probably he's going, you're a glass half full person. You're quite encouraging. Barnabas, you go over there, see what's going on and tell us whether it's kosher or not. Make sure it's okay. Make sure it's all right. And Barnabas goes there and he meets these people who are becoming Christians. And he's so encouraged and he wants to encourage them. And it says, news of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. He builds partnerships with the people who are there. That's what he does. He doesn't go in there and go, we're from the true church of Jerusalem. How dare you in Antioch set up a new church? He goes, guys, I hear that God's doing something really great with you. Look, I want to come here. I want to encourage you. I want to just bless you. I want to just see what God's doing and just know and share in the grace of God that's going on here. I want to work with you. I want to partner with you. I just want to encourage you in what you're doing. And we're so bad at this in the church. Because we end up in the church so easily in empire building. This is my ministry. How dare someone step on my toes? Or this is our church and we do this. And we're not going to go to that church because we're this church and we do this. It's like, but God's moving over there. Do I go to that church now? What do I do? It's interesting, isn't it, that the further back in history you go, the more unified the church is. The further into history, the further forward in the future you go, the more divided the church becomes. Because we so easily and so quickly fall out because we want it to be about us. Barnabas isn't an about me person. He's an about God person. Which is why he's so encouraging. I want to be a church. I want to be a person who wants to encourage wherever the kingdom's breaking out. Let's encourage that. And we might go, well, why do all the young people go to renewal? I don't care. Praise God. Bless them. What God's doing there, let's encourage them. Oh, so-and-so going down the church down the road. I don't care. Praise God. I think I might have told this story before in church, but there was a lady who we met when doing the door-to-door knocking, doing the evangelism the first time we did it in the streets. And she came to this church the first week, and she liked it, but she didn't like the worship. It wasn't for her. She preferred a more traditional style of worship. So she started going to St. Tom's, the Anglican Church of St. Tom's in Garrett's Green. And so, you know, you kind of go, oh, you know, but that's what we did. We were truly hoping she was going to come to church. And then now she goes to another church. But I spoke to the minister there, Sue Larkin, and she said, Pete, thank you so much for sending them to us. for directing them to our church, said, because they've got the exact gifts that we need for this season. And you go, oh, the kingdom's breaking out. The kingdom's breaking out. Let us be a church that encourages. If we can go and do something to support another church, praise God. I love it, the fact that people like David and Steve go and preach at Digbeth in the field. Go and help them out and other churches when they have need. That's awesome. That's about us going and encouraging them and saying, look, let us be a blessing to you. Let's go and encourage you. What God's doing in you, let's stir it up. Let's work with it. Let me share the Holy Spirit in me with the Holy Spirit in you and just be together in Christ. That's the second bit of, that's the other principle of building encouragement. It's building partnerships with each other. We need to be a church which is united together, working together. We need to be better as a church at engaging in churches together. We're pretty bad at it. We're quite self-sufficient. We're quite good at that, you know, being self-sufficient. But what an opportunity to partner with each other for the grace of God and for the kingdom of God. Which means the difficult task of doing the thing where we have to turn up to a service that we don't really want to go to. Or we've got to turn up to this or turn up to that. But if we did that, how encouraging would it be for us all? And what a change and difference it would make. So let's be a church which builds partnerships with other churches, other organisations. And not try and go, well, we want to do it over here and you do it over there. Let's just go, oh, if you're doing it, praise God, let's just join in with you. It's happening already. Let's not be snooty about our faith. Let's just join in with each other. When we see the grace of God at work, let's encourage that and bless that and do all we can to support it. Let's build partnerships. And next thing we see again in Acts 11 is encouragement comes through developing and equipping. What happens is Barnabas is there in Antioch. God's breaking out massively. And he goes, that guy Paul, where was he? Now what's happened a little bit earlier on in this is that Paul's met the church in Jerusalem. They've had a nice time together, and then they've sent him to Tarsus. They've gone, it's lovely that you're here, Paul. Why didn't you go back to Tarsus? So Paul's in Tarsus, and Barnabas is in Antioch, and he goes, you know what, I could do some help here. You know who'd be really good at this? Paul. And so he goes to Tarsus, he grabs Paul, he brings him back, and there in Antioch, he helps develop Paul as a leader in the church. They spent a whole year there, equipping, teaching the church. So if you want to know where Paul got his missionary understanding from, if you want to understand where Paul got his evangelistic spirit from, maybe it's from Barnabas, the one who goes, Antioch, the first time in the church really is kind of moving into a Gentile realm. Barnabas goes, Paul, you'd be fantastic at this. You come here. You do this. That's so your gifting, Paul. You come and be here. See what he does? Barnabas doesn't want to take the glory for himself. He goes, you know what? That person's so gifted in that. Let's get them involved over here. That's great. That's fab. And so I think Paul develops his understanding of a missionary attitude. He learns how to reach out to the Gentiles because of Barnabas. This minor character in the scriptures, who again has got his underlying influence in the church, who's just encouraging people along the way. He develops him. We later see Barnabas again, we'll talk about this in a moment, with a guy called Mark, John Mark. And he encourages him and builds him up as a leader in the life of the church. Barnabas just wants to help people be all that they can be. And he doesn't kind of go, I know it all, I'll do it all. He goes, that person's great. So we want to be people who are encouraging each other, call out of each other the gifts that we've got. If you see someone's really good at something, say to them they're really good at it. Say, you know what, you're fantastic doing coffee. You know what, you're fantastic at changing the words on the screen. You're fantastic at unlocking the door on Sunday morning to get into the church. You're fantastic at that. It's a real encouragement. Or if we see someone's got a gift, go, you know what, actually, I've seen you've got this gift. Actually, it'd be really helpful in the life of the church over here. Would you maybe come over just for maybe a short time and help out with this over here? That's an encouraging attitude to have. Calling out of each other the gifts that we've got and helping equip people in the gifts that they already do have. That's being an encouraging church, equipping each other in that way, helping to develop each other. Barnabas is someone who develops and equips. We go to our next point. Encouraging others is rebuilding relationships. There's a story where you've got Paul later on, he's with Barnabas, they're on a bit of a missionary tour, and Barnabas says, right, let's take with us Mark. Let's take Mark with us. And Paul's going, oh, we are not taking Mark. Mark, he's rubbish. He has no courage whatsoever. He deserted us over there. He was rubbish over when we were trying to serve over there. I'm not taking him with me on my journey. And Barnabas goes, whoa, okay, Paul, let's just calm down. He says, look, I still believe in Mark. And I want to encourage him. I want to put courage into him. I'll tell you what, Paul. I'll go with Mark. You take Silas. So Paul goes off and takes Silas, and they're going to have some little adventures. And Barnabas goes off with Mark. And what happens is, Barnabas rebuilds the relationships between Mark and Paul, because later on in Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy saying, you know what? Send Mark to me. He's so useful. He's so awesome. He's so great. This poor guy Mark, who's been discouraged because he ran away and got a bit scared the fact people were after him because he was a Christian, spends time with Barnabas, the person who puts courage into him, who's an encourager. And I think as he's built up, as he gains his confidence, he becomes more sure of what he believes and who he is, it allows him to have a really beautiful relationship with Paul. See, encouraging people see the need for reconciliation, and they do all they can to make it work and come about. Barnabas is this sort of secret character in the New Testament, behind all the scenes, managing all the problems, filling in the gaps, just wanting so desperately to encourage people in Jesus, wanting so desperately to see them move forward in the faith. That's just what he's about. That's what he's just so into. How amazing would it be if we were like that? If we were that encouraging? If we just went, there's a gap there, there's a need there, I will steward well and I'll put into that gap. If we went, you know what, I want to be a half full person, I want to bring people into relationship with each other. If we kind of go, you know what, I want to be someone who builds partnerships with other churches, other Christians, I don't care. If God's kingdom's being moving forward, let's get involved with that. I want to be an encourager who helps develop people, who helps equip people to go on with God. And I want to be an encourager that builds reconciliation, who rebuilds the relationships that God wants us to have. Those five principles today of encouragement, if we start applying those into our lives, it would be incredible, absolutely incredible, if we start becoming people of such encouragement. Because when you are a person of encouragement, it spreads like wildfire, and it will come back to you. And so as you give encouragement, you will receive encouragement. Barnabas was an encourager, and we too are called to be encouragers. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, the Bible calls God the God of all comfort and of all encouragement. So for us to encourage others is to be like God. We need some Barnabases in this church. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of our nicknames were Barnabas, because we were just so encouraging, so loving, so about each other, so about the cause and mission of God. So let's be that. People who just want to see the church grow, want to see God's kingdom come, don't care about us. We just care about God and other people building up in the faith. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. So let's try to be people this week and into our Christian lives, mature believers who are prepared to encourage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would have that Barnabas spirit in us, that desperation to see the purposes and plans of God come about, that desperation to just see people grow in faith. Lord, to bring people into relationship and friendship with each other. Lord, to equip and build up. Lord, to bring about reconciliation. Lord, to steward what we have well. Lord, let's be people of encouragement, as you are the God of encouragement. Fill us with your spirit. Enable us in your power, Lord, to meet the needs of this world, a world that is so discouraged. Let us bring your encouragement. Amen.